Monday, you know, we've had a good fair share of first selectmen and women, but we do got a mayor. He's Justin Elker, mayor of New Haven. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing very well. Been very busy for you. Obviously, a lot of positive energy around the Tweed New Haven Airport expansion and everything. And, you know, just in terms of the impact of the city and the way you envision the airport, just talk a little bit about, you know, the deal.
Sure. And just exciting about Bono's birthday. Rattle and Hum was the first album I ever bought. So
that puts you, that's like, is that early, late 80s, early 90s?
I'm 45, so yeah.
Yeah, well, you're younger than me, so you got that. The Joshua Tree was, I went to the garden in 88 and saw them when I was in high school, and it was a life changer, so I hear you.
Those were the days. So yeah, Tweed, it's a really exciting announcement. This has been something that's been elusive for decades. And the city and the airport authority have not been able to agree on something because there were a lot of neighborhood concerns, and we were able to, through months of negotiation, and particularly in the last couple of weeks, pretty intense negotiation, address a lot of those concerns. We've eliminated the city's financial subsidy to the airport, have a lot of traffic calming and noise investments, so a lot of good things that come out of it. And the airport is going to be able to have more commercial flights that can actually be accessible to a lot of people in New Haven because they'll be more affordable.
So where are I know this carrier that's coming in is, you know, sort of a second tier airports in the West and Northwest. And, you know, where are people going to be able to go that they can't go now from Tweed, New Haven?
So the airline is Avelo, and it's a new airline. They just opened up a hub on the West Coast as well. They have not formally announced where they're going to be flying yet. We can expect them to start flights in the late summer. And obviously, I'm just as anxious as everyone else to hear about where they're planning on headed.
So when it comes to the surrounding, you know, community, obviously people, you know, it's not in my backyard, whether it's sound or, you know, the busyness of around them or the property value impact. I mean, what is the economic opportunity if you can get more people to come to Tweed, New Haven instead of going to the New York airports or even up to Bradley? What's the potential economic impact on the city?
Well, it's quite significant. A lot of what I have heard is that companies want to locate in this region, but because there's not an airport that's going to places that they need to go that is very close, it just makes it more difficult for them to locate here.
Right.
You know, I've heard thousands of jobs. It's always, frankly, hard to digest whether that is fully accurate. But it is clear that there's a strong desire for an airport. And I know that there's been some interest in Sikorsky or Tweed as the potential. It's clear that Tweed is a good option now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to avoid a hassle of a major airport. So, I mean, I think it'd be a great option for just about anybody within, you know, 60-mile radius of the airport. We're talking with Mayor Justin Elker from New Haven. I also want to get in a couple of things. I want to talk about the vaccine and how businesses are bouncing back and dealing with your communities of color with the vaccine. But I quickly, this Clean and Safe Sweep initiative, can you just tell people what it is?
Sure. So we're going, city staff and I are going around to neighborhoods throughout the city every couple weeks. We have a whole team. There's maybe 20 or 30 people that go out, and we just look for blight. We look for trash, and then we'll call it in right away. I've always found that it's easier for me to see things firsthand and our team to be there on site to address issues, both because you can take care of them pretty quickly, and also some people may not call things in. They may be afraid to contact the government, or they may be a little nervous on that. So it's a way to keep the city clean.
You know, it's funny. I did a ton of stories in Detroit during the Great Recession about blight, and they had, you know, huge stretches of neighborhoods that were completely abandoned. How big a problem is blight? And is there some sort of programmatic approach to it in your city?
I think it's a major problem and one of the things that we need to really work hard on. There's a good number of landlords that don't keep their properties clean. And that impacts the neighborhood, but it also impacts the people living there. You know, a lot of times the smoke detectors aren't working, or the egress may be blocked, or, you know, all different life and safety issues. We have an inspection program, but we're working to actually make it more robust and be a little bit more aggressive at fining people to hold landlords accountable with the goal of making sure that people are living in safe and clean environments.
Do you have an issue where people will not budge on rents? They'd rather keep places empty than come down on rent? Some of the bigger real estate management companies, is that an issue as well or no?
You know, there's a related issue that we're seeing right now where not as many landlords are willing to agree to the funding that's being offered by the state to help address people that aren't paying rent.
Right.
I don't know if you've been following that at all, but we're really concerned that once the eviction moratorium that's been put in place because of COVID is lifted, that we're going to have mass evictions. And a lot of landlords haven't taken the money. And one of our concerns is because we think some of the landlords just want to force the people out that are living there now.
Well, so the basic bottom line is if people aren't going to be, if there's back rent to be paid, a lot of people just simply won't be able to pay it. I mean,
yeah, but the state is offering a program where 85% of the lost rent would be covered. Obviously, that leaves 15 on the table, and a lot of landlords are not taking them up on this offer.
Huh, interesting. I did not know that. It's something to follow up on. You know, we've done a lot of talk, a lot of conversations and interviews on the vaccine, and you know, it's not like I'm alone on this. Now everyone talks about it, but I've long felt that the last 30-40% would be the most difficult, whether it's hesitance or access. I mean, it seems like you guys have gotten over the hump of access in your communities, especially communities of color. How are you dealing with, you know, the hesitancy element of the vaccine?
This is going to be a serious challenge on our side. We're at around 41% of the city has been vaccinated, and that's pretty different than a lot of the suburban communities. It's good as far as large cities go,
right?
But we clearly have a long way to go. And in just talking with some of our vaccine providers, including our health department, we've started to see the supply outpace the demand, that people are less interested. I was actually knocking on doors myself on Saturday with a lot of residents in Newhallville and Dixwell to just explain to people why it's important to try to get people out. And it's going to be one by one encouraging people to get the vaccine.
So anecdotally, let me just ask you, how much is it political and how much is it authentic hesitancy?
I think in New Haven, I mean, so you see nationally, it's a little bit of a Republican-Democrat divide, and there's been some conservative Republicans that have been very hesitant because I think there's been some political messaging that has been incorrect. I think in New Haven, the conversations I've had, there's a lot of people like, yeah, I'm going to get it next week, that sort of thing. And that to me is an indication that there's still some hesitancy around it. And it's about having conversations directly with people to convince them.
Right.
And also making it very, very easy. You know, we're talking about doing vaccine sites at grocery stores, at the bus stop, that sort of thing, where it's right there so we can catch people at a moment to get their vaccine.
So real quick before we let you go, we appreciate the time, Mayor. How is it with the local businesses and bouncing back and opening up? You know, I was in West Hartford Center yesterterday, and it seems like, you know, a lot of people still wearing masks outside, and there's a lot of just cautiousness. But in terms of the business activity, how is it in New Haven?
It's getting better. I mean, even this morning after I dropped my daughter off, I was seeing more cars on the road. It's getting better, but we've still got a long way to go. A lot of our businesses downtown have told me as I go and get lunch that they've seen an uptick in business, but still, we got a long way to go.
All right, Mayor. We appreciate it. Justin Ellicker, Mayor of New Haven, here on The Morning Show with Ray and Brian. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
All right, listen, New Haven is a great city. We didn't even get into pizza. We just didn't have the chance. We'll have to talk a little pizza down the road because number two in the country, and it's because of your city. So,
happy to talk about whatever in the future, so let me know.
All right. Mayor Justin Ellicker here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.